You know, I was singing that song earlier, standing on a solid rock. I thought about a story in my own life. I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and me and one of my best friends at the time, my dad owns about 55 acres of land, and we would go out, and you know, for the most part in the summertime, we would leave first thing in the morning, and we would check in at lunchtime to grab a sandwich, and we'd go back outside, and we stayed outside all the time. Well, one particular summer afternoon, we decided that there was a little, it wasn't even a big enough to be called a pond down there in my dad's, it was just a little small watering hole, is about all it was, at the edge of a little creek that ran through his property. And we looked down in that thing, and it was almost completely dried up. It just had some mud. And you know how little boys are. Boys love mud. And we decided we were going to just get down in that mud, and we were going to have us a big old time. You know, Mom wasn't anywhere around. We were just going to have us a time. So we got down there in that mud, and we began to play. Well, after about 10 or 15 minutes, I got to looking over at him, and he got to looking over to me. And the mud was up to about our stomachs. We hadn't even realized it. We were sinking in that mud. And then we got to thinking, we stopped playing and we looked at each other. And I said, Josh, what are we going to do? And he said, I don't know. He said, we might better call for somebody and get some help over here. So we're down in the bottom of a hayfield, and we start yelling and screaming as loud as we can scream, Mom, Dad. And you know, he's calling their names. And man, we'd wait for a minute to see if anybody responded. We'd do it again. For about 30 minutes, we did that, just screaming, oh, somebody help me, somebody help me. And we didn't have nobody coming, so we finally decided, well, ain't nobody else coming in to get us out of this mess. I said, we're going to have to get each other out. We're going to have to try anyway, or we're going to drown right here in this mud. I mean, they'd gotten up to our chest at that point. We were even deeper than before. And so we decided we were just going to do the only thing we knew how to do. And I said, well, I'm going to dig you out as much as I can. And then maybe you'll get enough motion where you can start digging me. And we did that. And we worked back and forth. And, you know, we'd make it, maybe a 6 or 8 inches at a time. And we'd move. And then we'd get stuck again, couldn't do anything. Well, after about an hour and a half of just constant back and forth digging and stopping to rest, we finally got out of that mud. And I remember we walked up to the house and we were just dragging, you know. Oh my goodness, what in the world are we doing here? And then Mom, she saw us, she said, what happened to y'all? And I said, well, we got stuck in the mud and we had to dig each other out. You know, I got to thinking about that. I said, you know, I am so glad when I was in my sins and I was there, had no way to get out, and I called for help even, and nobody came to the rescue. It felt like that there was somebody there with me, and he came down to where I was. And you know what? I have no fear today of sinking down into the mire unless I am disobedient. But as long as I'm obedient to him, I have no fear of sinking down. And as the psalmist said, he has established my foot on a rock. And that rock is Christ Jesus. And I am glad that I have an unsinkable faith today. I'm not saying that I am unsinkable, but I am saying that the faith, the one whom I have faith in, is absolutely unsinkable. I need not fear falling down today as long as I trust in him. Oh, I thank God today. I'm glad to be founded on the rock, Christ Jesus. Got your Bibles today. I want you to keep them open. I want to start by just wishing once again all the men a happy Father's Day. Thank you to all the men who have helped to raise your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. That's something that seems to be more rare these days. You know, who would have ever imagined that the terms such as fatherhood and masculinity all would be controversial in the context of our culture? Would you ever imagine that? That just somebody saying that, well, he's a man's man, or, you know, he is a true leader of men, you know, things like that. And all that's toxic masculinity is what some would call it in this hour. Even in the church world, male headship and leadership is viewed by many to be oppressive and out of date. You know, it's not right. You know, that's beyond our times. That's outside of our times. Before our times, they would say. Our culture has torn down the honor of masculine fatherhood and replaced it And I was just thinking about this. Two ways I thought about it. We have boys who've never grown up, but they fathered children. Our culture has that. Boys who've never grown up, they're still wrapped up in all their little worldly pursuits, and they may have had children, but they've never really become fathers. And then we have men who are stepped on and walked over by their wives, and you know, and it seems to be a cultural norm for that to be so. So on this Father's Day, I honor the men who have stepped up and endeavored to lead their home in a biblical and a loving manner. Thank you for that. Thank you if you have endeavored by the leading of the Spirit, oh, by the instruction of the Word of God to lead your family. That is, it is a blessing. I was thinking about my own father. I've been blessed with both a good earthly father and a good heavenly father. And my heavenly father far outweighs them all, but I do love and appreciate and honor my earthly father as well. You know, I've been enough places and stay up to date with our church culture enough to see that we have too many instances where churches are comprised of spiritual women and carnal men. I've been plenty of places, and you know, if you're calling a prayer meeting and you want somebody to really pray and touch heaven, there ain't very many men on the list. It's a list of women, and there's nothing wrong with women praying. I'm not against that. No, absolutely not. I'm not even dejecting that, but I'm telling you, when we have church world that is comprised of spiritual women and carnal men, oh, we're on a shaky foundation. Men who have been promoted to leadership on their jobs but have failed to lead their homes and their churches, as Scripture would declare. So my thought today is that we're faced with a real challenge in the area of fatherhood to try and live out the Scriptures properly. I'm aware that many fathers in this room today have already raised their children to adulthood. Some are now in the stage of influencing your grandchildren. Some of you we would consider maybe spiritual fathers, but I want to challenge you today from the Scriptures with four points that just felt to highlight on this Father's Day and to leave you with, and hopefully with it is my prayerful intention that you will consider these things, and if you are not practicing them, you will practice them, and if you are practicing them, you will continue. But these points are applicable to grandfathers and spiritual fathers as well, and they are this. I want to give them to you real quick, and we're going to go through them, and we're going to do some different scriptures, so keep your Bible open. But first of all, my challenge is this first point: die to self. Second of all, live for Christ. Third, do all to the glory of God. And finally, lead your family. Those four things. And let's look first of all, and when I speak this morning, I would just title it, Are You Up for the Challenge? Are you up for the challenge? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. We love you today, and we thank you for this Father's Day, and we honor all the men. I know that there are some in this room today that you're remembering fathers who have passed on, and we honor the legacy of good men who have made good fathers, Lord, even though they may have been impaired in some ways, may have been less than perfect. We honor you today for godly men to stand and raise the bar high. And Lord, I pray that you would help us not to lower the standard on fatherhood, but to keep it at that high biblical standard of what you would have and desire. I ask today, Lord, as I speak to the men of this church, that you would help me as a father to live out these principles, Lord, that are contained within your word. And Lord, I don't want to just lead with my words. I want to lead with my example. Father, I ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. First of all, my first thought is this. As men, I want to encourage you, die to self. Die to self. Our culture is filled with self-centered people. I'm talking, have you ever met somebody that's completely self-absorbed? Oh, you know, have you met those people? We have promoted personal autonomy to the point that they feel that they have the right to govern themselves however they feel. It's my rights, my preferences, and my feelings. I've watched as men have been so greatly influenced by such unbiblical thinking. Oh, men who live for their hobbies, men who live for their careers. Let me just say this.
Hobbies or careers, neither one, are sinful in and of themselves. In fact, they are very morally neutral in most cases. But we live in a culture that has promoted a self-centeredness that says, I am going to live to do whatever I want to do, and if it doesn't please me, I am not going to do it. But that is so contradictory to the Word of God. For the Word of God declares unto us that we are to die unto ourselves. But when a man lives for such things, he is in fact living for himself. Christianity is so countercultural that it has been and it always will be a controversy when we take the scriptures and we present what thus saith the Word of God to a culture that desires to go in the opposite direction from what God has declared. Oh, in Christian circles, the idea of dying to self is often spoken of, but it's not often explained. You know, we have terms for it, we have names for it, but people just say it and move on. What does it mean to die to self, and how can we accomplish it in the context of being rather future fathers, current fathers, or perhaps even grandfathers? Well, I'm going to just give you a couple thoughts about this idea of dying to self. First of all, it means self-sacrifice. So what it means, that's what it means to die to self. To die to self means to sacrifice selfish means and desires. Paul gives Christ as the ultimate example. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5, first of all. Paul is going to give Christ as the ultimate example of this kind of self-sacrifice two different times in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Let's notice here, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, this is what Paul talks about, what he says here in the concept of self-sacrifice as connected with Christ. He says there in verse 1, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." When we say die to self, we are saying that you are to give of yourself. Oh, that's what it means. That's the concept of it. It means self-sacrifice. The death to self that we are called to carry out in our lives is not a meaningless death, but it is a dying with a purpose. We are not speaking of an innocent victim of some cruel circumstances, but of the willing sacrifice of a meaningful participant. You know, people don't want to give up their lives because they feel like, you know, I've gained so much. I've done this. I've accomplished that. No. We are called as Christians to give ourselves away for the glory of God. And we have the ultimate and supreme example of this found in Jesus Christ. Oh, he loved not his life unto death. He was willing to